TNT Sport Pods.
London Irish spent over a century in existence, but it was a century without any major silverware. The Exiles, a home from home for the Irish diaspora and anyone else who wants a fun day out at the rugby. Irish have a huge following, but for 104 years the fans enjoyed stroke, suffered thrilling but inconsistent rugby as they battled relegation from the top tier. In the latest episode of our Rugby Stories podcast series, we revisit the 2001-2002 season, which culminated in arguably the greatest day in the history of London Irish, the day they won the Power Gen Cup.
Probably the best time ever to be involved in rugby.
Paul Sackey sets off.
Everyone ready to die for each other on the field.
He's a natural born leader.
One man can stop a line out. One man can stop a line out.
So ferocious in attack and defence.
And if you can put the two together, then you are going to have one hell of a party.
If I was ever going to play anywhere other than in Ireland, it would be in a club just like that.
Oh, thunderous.
We hated them, in all fairness. We really did.
Exhilaration for the men in green.
And you're not going to get me to talk about it on camera. No, I'm joking.
The cup surely Irish is now.
That is what makes rugby special.
In Rugby Stories, you will get the full, extended, uncut anecdotes from the players, coaches and key figures, some never told before. Before 2002, London Irish had only ever been to one major final in 104 years, the 1980 John Player Cup Final. Yeah, amazing to think a cigarette company sponsored a trophy back then. It was against Leicester at Twickenham.
So an end to London Irish's challenge, victory for Leicester. They're the cup winners in 1980.
The history of London Irish is, you know, great players from Ireland had come across working in London and built up the strength of London Irish because of that. It always had its base with its Irish players, Irish heritage.
That's Chris Sheavesby. The England international played number 8 for Wasps and Harlequins before signing for Irish in 2000. The same year that another key man came to the club, Ireland fly half Barry Everett would go on to become the all-time point scorer in his 7 years for the Exiles. And in the cup-winning season, Everett would set the highest ever points total in a single Premiership season, 343 points still yet to be beaten. Everett jumped across the pond from Irish giants Leinster because he could see the huge potential in his new side.
I went over, got on a plane, went over, had a look around the club, a couple of familiar faces, and immediately it just felt like home, and it was an easy decision for me. And the focus was always trying to improve, and you wanted to go from, if you were a club that were mid-table, you wanted to try and climb that table. They wanted to win silverware. To do that, they were going to have to get a certain bunch of individuals together, but also get the right coaching structure in place.
With professionalism, it started to realise that to be able to compete and to be sustainable up at the top, that they needed to have that blend of players that weren't Irish, you know, great players, to be able to strengthen their squad, as well as keeping their rich history. And so the dynamics of London Irish, you know, changed.
Chris Sheavesby was right. The dynamics were changing. The club, originally formed of Irish expats, were now bringing in exciting stars from right across the rugby world. And the most dynamic signing of all was arguably Paul Sackey. The 20-year-old wing blazed into the side in the same year Sheavesby and Everett joined.
I didn't actually know any history about any of the clubs, so I was new to rugby in itself. I started playing rugby late. So 15, I started to get little bits of Irish's history and stuff like that. But when I was there, because I was so young, I just enjoyed myself. And because I didn't really know too much about rugby, I think I enjoyed myself even more, if you know what I mean, because I wanted to enjoy it and I wanted to embrace rugby. So I just took to rugby and the fans and Irish, because Irish was a place where they embraced you, you had fun.
This wonderful club that everyone loved, probably everyone's second favourite club. You know, you supported, you know, whoever had their home support, obviously their first club, but it was everyone's favourite second club. A club that was always fighting to stay up. It was always a close run thing, always sort of near that, the relegation zone. On any one weekend could pull out the most amazing victories, playing the most amazing rugby, but just not consistent enough, and therefore always in that battle at the bottom. So not competing consistently at the top, but a great place to be, a great place to be part of, and to play.
When it first arrived, it was Dick Best was the head coach there, and he had certain qualities as well that he was able to develop players, and we were incredibly resilient and mentally tough. But the players that were there tended to stay for a longer period of time. So we had that knowledge and that expertise from different types of coaches, and eventually it culminates in a good team that are resilient, that have a very good structure, that are passionate about what they do, that have a love for the club. And at that point, I think that's where you get something special, something exceptional happening.
Paul Sackey sets off lightning fast, strong too.
I actually loved it. I loved being there. I loved being part of it. And then I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing. I really enjoyed playing. So we liked to party. We liked to have fun. We went out a lot, but we done it together as a team.
It was all about the crack and the Guinness and the fun and that wonderful Irish atmosphere.
But we were such a joke team.
Irish very narrow in defence. Newcastle going wide. BT turns provider. Newcastle are in.
We were a very close-knit team, but I think we enjoyed ourselves a little bit too much.
It was time to knuckle down, and it was time for Conor O'Shea to step up. O'Shea had played a fullback for Irish for 5 seasons, but a career-ending ankle injury saw him move into coaching. In 2001, he was appointed director of rugby. His years at London Irish meant he understood what needed to change, and crucially, he knew how to get those changes across to the players, as Barry Everett explains.
There was a couple of key individuals there at the time. Conor O'Shea was one of them. I actually happened to live with him when I first came over. He was still playing.
Conor O'Shea stretching clear and finishing.
So he gravitated from being that player into the coaching setup after he got badly injured. So he really appreciated what we were going through on the field, the mindset, what we were putting our bodies through. But also understood where we wanted to get to. So having him as that link between some of the coaches coming through was vitally important to keep the ethos of the club, but also to bind those players together, again, to work towards a common goal and try to be success and try and win that silverware that had eluded the club.
There was the end of the Dick Best era, and he had done a great job with London Irish, made it more competitive. We're starting to move out of, with regard to being in that relegation zone, starting to creep into the middle of the pack, but not there yet. And then you had the new brigade come in, which was that South African element. You need to have all the parts fall into place. Here was the start of a new era under player coach Brendan Venter.
One of O'Shea's best decisions was to bring in South African Brendan Venter as a player coach. Venter had already had one spell at London Irish, playing for the club between 1997 and 99, before returning to his homeland to practice as a doctor. But Venter was lured back to the Exiles with the promise of a big role in shaping the side in his image, and he answered the call.
And now I'd heard so much about him, and I was expecting this guy that was going to be 6'4" and 17 stone that played in the centre, because I heard he was such a formidable player. But when I first met him, he was very humble. He was quite quiet, quite unassuming.
He changed a lot of the mentality of how we done stuff at the club.
There he is, Brendan Venter, sure to be the driving force of this London Irish team.
He was a great doctor. He was a great family man, religious man. But a man who would go to the absolute extremes when it came from the point of view of rugby to be able to get to his goal.
He brought that hard South African sort of mentality. He was a great leader. He put himself about all the time and he wouldn't back down of anything.
I remember one session, right, they were throwing the ball in and they tried to stop a line out and they couldn't stop a line out. And he was watching it and he just got angry. He said, listen, how can you not stop a line out? One man can stop a line out.
He'd come over and you'd be like looking, going, really? A back?
Put the ball in, and he's this big, right? He's tiny. So they threw the ball in, done the line out, bang, he drops it on the floor. There you go. One man can stop a line out. We were all like, wow.
Those training sessions were incredibly intense. And you had to get it right. You just always made sure that you selected yourself on his team or he selected you on his team. You didn't want to be in the opposition, that's for sure.
You don't mind that kind of thing if you have the ability to be able to back it up. And he did. He just wanted to make sure that every little detail had been sorted out. Every little bit of tinkering had been done. So that when it came to game day, we were 101% ready for the game.
I suppose the press will always have a view, and their view at that time was that we were going to struggle. And I think the season beforehand, as I said with Dick Best, it gave us great mental resilience. I think we worked probably harder than any team during that pre-season. It was incredible. I think we were certainly fitter than everybody else. We were more structured, and I think we hit the ground running. And we had a self-belief, and some of those key players and those key individuals in our group had a self-belief as well and that expectation. And once that expectation begins to build and you see that success that we had at the beginning of the season, as that starts to run throughout, you build more confidence. And we had trust, we had faith in the process. So expectations were low outside that group to begin with, but inside that group, we knew we were destined for something better.
Everything was set up, everything in place. Going into the 2001-2002 season, London Irish were not contenders in the media's eyes. Pundits were expecting the usual relegation battle. But Irish started the season in imposing form. And by December, they had a chance to reach the quarter-final of the Powergen Cup, but they'd need to beat Bath on their own turf.
Beautiful day at the Wreck. Two teams gunning for the last eight of the Powergen Cup.
Our games against Bath were always close. I don't think anyone likes playing down at the Wreck. Those sort of games, he was hoping to just get a smash and grab, get in, out, play and go home and just never go back there again because it's the worst place to play.
We always knew when we played, if we could create any space for Paul, he was just such a great try scorer and he was lightningly quick. So for us, it was about generating space and giving him that outside gap because we knew that he'd be able to take it and he would score.
He could score. He could score from anywhere. He was proper gas.
What a step from Saki. Lethal.
As well as being strong, able to ride tackles, hand off people, take contact.
Saki again, his pace causing havoc.
He's a character.
I was a bit of a nightmare. To be fair, I was a big nightmare. I sort of did my own thing a lot of the time. I was quite laid back.
His seat in his Mercedes used to be reclined so far back, you know, with that casual attitude. But I was always worried about his driving because he could barely see over the steering wheel.
I mean, I hated training, hated it with a passion. Brendan came in, and as much as the first few weeks or few months, I thought he was a bit off with me or he didn't like me. He obviously done it because he saw a little bit of potential in me. So he was on at me all the time, which I thought, oh, come on, leave me alone for a bit. But he was on at me all the time. But in the end, I realised it was because he wanted me to do good. So I learned a hell of a lot from him.
Saki's performance would help London Irish take charge of the match. Three tries would seal the deal.
Saki up really quick, making a real menace of himself. He's in there, right in the thick of it. They're over. A place in the quarterfinal is theirs, and Brendan Fenter can celebrate.
So to come away from there with a win was a massive achievement for us.
Because normally our game in the finals was Barry Everett kicking territory and just trying to win penalties. So for us to score three tries was a good game for us.
Back home for the quarterfinal at a rainy Medeski Stadium, Sacchi, Sheesby and Everett were starting to believe.
The quarterfinal at home to Gloucester on a wet and damp and miserable day, one of the great aspects of our press defence at the time was that, especially in wet conditions, we tended to get the ball back from the opposition so we could play more and more territory, and that kind of played into our hands.
Gloucester well back behind the gain line. Irish defenders swarming everywhere.
Just kept on being in their faces, just smashing them back, creating the turnovers, and from that creating the mistakes, then creating the ability to be able to strike and score.
Relentless pressure from the exile. Sacchi's away, brushing off one through the seconds.
All being able to get in kickable positions.
Everett, cool as you like.
And the more and more frustrated they got, the more it just played into our hands.
Gloucester trying to open things up here, trying to find some spaces, but there aren't any.
And I think we ran out comfortable enough winners. Just that focus of getting through to the next round and trying to get to a semi-final, put ourselves in a position where we could just get that little bit closer to the silverware.
At that point, you beat Bath, you beat Gloucester, who are powerhouses in rugby, in all fairness. Yeah, you're starting to think maybe.
Maybe. A 25-10 win over Gloucester was a big statement, but standing in the way of a place at Twickenham were Harlequins, a local derby for the semi-final at the Stoop. And as Chris Sheesby explains, there was real rivalry between the two teams. Irish had shared the stadium with Quins before moving to Reading in 2000.
You know, people would always talk about Harlequins and Wasps, but this was a local derby. London Irish and Quins had shared a ground. You've got all the different elements. The fact that Dick Best had been at Harlequins, Dick Best had been at London Irish, the games that had happened before. This was now semi-final time.
We hated them, in all fairness. We really did. We didn't like them. Our fans didn't like each other. Us as players thought Quins were a little bit arrogant. And then we thought they were a bit above themselves. So I think that's where the rivalry between the clubs started.
One of the things you least want to see when you look out the window when you first wake up is you hate to see windy weather. Because as a goal kicker, as a fly half, you know that you're going to have to alter your game and how you play, even when it comes down to passing distances and whatnot. So looking out that morning, I was going, right, we're going to have to change tactic a little bit.
Twickenham just 80 minutes away. But what a day for it. The wind, a huge factor. It could hardly be more blustery.
When we reached the ground, I went out to do some practice kicks, as you do before a game. And I think I missed every single one. Yeah, it was just incredibly difficult. I don't think I've ever experienced wind or a breeze like that on a field. And I always remember, it was my father on the day. It happened to be my birthday as well. He just turned around to me and said, you know, I'd love to go to Twickenham. I'd love to get to the final. I'd love to be able to come and support. And I said, no pressure then. Thank you very much on my birthday with these conditions. Let's see if we can get you to the final.
You've got all the different elements. The fact that Dick Best had been at Harlequins, Dick Best had been at London Irish, the games that had happened before. This was now semi-final time. You are one step away from being able to walk from the Stoop Memorial Ground across the A316 and into Twickenham. If you get that close and don't touch it, that's hard.
Irish began with a laser focus on crossing the road to Twickenham.
Barry Everett, the man to kick us off in this semi-final.
I don't remember us being intimidated by anyone who was playing on their team, other than that they had a lot of good players. But we had our strategy, we knew how we were going to play the game, and we knew if we could get our noses in front and we did the right things, that the pressure would build on them.
Well, it should be straightforward, but with this strong wind, no kick is straightforward. Measures it beautifully, Irish in front.
At the beginning of the games, we try to get as much points on the board as we can, because we knew teams were going to come back. We weren't the best team in the world, and a lot of these other teams were a lot stronger. So we tried to probably get a lot of points as early as we can and just try and hold out.
Brendan Fenter, through the tackles.
The breeze was so intense that Henty Martins, the scrum half, had to hold the ball on the tee for me. But yeah, it turned out to be a very successful kicking display in the most incredible conditions.
Everett doesn't look like missing, does he? London Irish easing into a dream lead at this point. Quick ruck ball for Irish. Horak down that short side.
We were quick out of the blocks, which creates the belief that you can stay in the lead and be able to shut it out. We have half a foot in the door across the road.
26-0 to London Irish at halftime. The Exiles were surely on their way to Twickenham. Harlequins had other ideas.
Quinns at such a disadvantage on the scoreboard. Need this badly. Dipros through the middle.
I knew they were going to come back because they were a good team. I knew they would come back.
Jason Leonard, England's legendary prop. Players gathered all around him. They're there. Tia Tia has it.
We were terrible in the second half.
Another drive. Another try. Quinns on the comeback trail. 26 points down. Harlequins now remarkably leading by a point.
We had built up a big lead. Harlequins had come back and they had managed to claw their way back into the game. We tried to close it out, but they managed just to squeeze back in front. And again, I think at those moments, that nagging part of your head where you turn around and say, well, you know, if we can just keep in this game, if we can keep in this game that little bit longer, we'll get an opportunity. I always firmly believe that every game I've ever played in, that in the last 5 minutes, you're going to get an opportunity.
And finally, Everest would get that opportunity. Nothing had worked for Irish in the second half, but just when it looked as if their shot at silverware was over, they fashioned one final chance.
Irish pounding away with their forwards. Pressure building. Codling for Quinns. Oh, he's off his feet. That's the penalty. And it might come down to this. Barry Everett's critical kick.
We've done our job in getting him into the position to be able to have that chance to finish it off. At that point, you know the ball and the responsibility is in the best hands in the league. And I say best hands, I should really say best boots, best feet.
At that point, you've got to have as little going through your head as possible. And you think of the most basic and simple structure. Everyone will say you image yourself and you think about being on the training fields and trying to replicate that. So I think the less you're thinking about it, the better. You will feel the pressure. Everybody feels the pressure at that particular moment. But it's about process. It is about positioning the ball in the right place, you standing in the right place, picking your target, and then being really committed, like anything that you do on the field and anything you do in life, being really committed to what you do.
You know that there is no better person to have that responsibility.
This to nail down the victory. Everett reading the wind and curling it in and leading Irish towards the finish line. Superb.
London Irish won 32-27.
And the full-time whistle is blown. Irish have won it into the final and a 20-year wait is over.
It was our time. The way things had fallen into place, the momentum we had, take it and take those moments and those opportunities and convert them. And that is the operative word. Barry converted and we won.
At some of those big moments, you celebrate very little. I think it's more relief than anything else. You're exhausted, mentally and physically, absolutely exhausted. You're just so delighted that it's over, that you've managed to win.
There was celebration, but I think Brendan was not happy. I mean, Brendan's style back then, which was painful, was after the game, we would watch the full game, like the full 80 minutes. Brendan went to town on a few people.
We would analyse those videos, see where we went wrong, see those marginal gains that we could make, and that was part of us improving week on week. And obviously that euphoria of winning on that weekend, we needed to be brought back down a level and get us to refocus on that next game, on the next task that we had in hand.
The PowerGen Cup Final at Twickenham, arguably the biggest match in the club's then 104-year history. 75,000 were there. Most of them were Exiles fans. but they were up against Northampton, the 2000 European Champions Cup winners. The Saints were big favourites against a side who had never won a major league or cup tournament.
Twickenham buzzing at a huge day for Northampton and London Irish in the Power Gen Cup final.
The feeling going into that final was that we were underdogs. Externally, everyone thought that if we could go there and put up a good show, it would be all right. That would be enough. Internally, we were thinking something completely different.
Now we're playing Northampton, which is a star-studded team from start to finish. It's an endless sea of names. You've got internationals across the board, just to name a few. You've got Budge Patney in the back row, Paul Grayson at fly half, Leslie in the centre, Ben Cohen on one wing, Nick Beale at fullback, Thompson, Hurt Hooker. You've got Matt Dawson at scrum half. Just an outstanding player.
The build-up for the final was just on a different level. Brendan hated Matt Dawson with a passion. I mean, it's documented, and I think he's even said it. The only motivation was that everyone knew we had to go out there and destroy them.
It's the most beautiful day. I mean, the sun is shining. I mean, this is the way that you want the end of the season to be. Capacity crowd, a sea of green wigs. This is our moment. I mean, you feel indestructible. It's that energy and it just pulses through you. You feel that nothing can destroy you. It's the time where you feel most godlike.
Brendan said, listen.
Look around at the people in this group. You will cross the road the rest of your life and you will go over to talk to that person if you manage to win this today.
So let's try and create history. I knew we were ready. When we went out on that field, I looked at everyone and they were just, I saw it. And that was the first time I actually seen the team, everyone focused, everyone ready, everyone to sort of die for each other on the field, as in everyone, down to the kit man, everyone was ready. And I'd never seen that with Irish before.
Irish were on a mission. They started brilliantly.
Saints kicking off in the Twickenham sunshine, the Power Gen Cup final underway.
So the whole thing started, and I can remember the game starting, and we were just out of the block straight away.
Irish firing early, here's Bishop. Horak to his left, Saki's with him too, he might not need them. Dragged down just a couple of metres short. Irish wants it.
Probably for the first time that season, we strayed a little bit away from what had made us really successful. And all right, you think about, we've taken all our points. When we get penalties, we kick everything at goal and we try to add our score 6, 9, 12, and we'll take penalties wherever we get them. In that game, it was different. And the strategy was we knew we were going to have to score tries.
Irish laying siege to the Northampton line. It's there for Everett now. Here's Fenter. Bishop bustling forwards. What an offload. Appleford is in for the first try of the final.
7-0 after 13 minutes. But things will get even better for an irresistible Irish attack.
We went into the first half an hour, all guns blazing.
Irish pressing again. Just a metre out, Horak diving through, and Everett makes it 14-0.
We just had this constant pressure. Mikey Horak made one scything break, which on about the halfway line. We did a backs play, it was right to left, and he came in from the point out, bang, through, and scored.
Appleford now, Bishop to his left, no one will touch him. It's three for the Irish at Twickenham.
Northampton had so many stars and we knew that they would want to play ball, play rugby. They would try and play expansively at particular moments as well within the game. And we were happy to give them the ball and let them come at us, knowing that our defence was strong. And every time they ran the ball, they'd find themselves 2 and 3 yards behind the gain line, time after time. And that becomes quite frustrating after a while.
They just got wound up. And I think Brendan was winding them up. And we had so many people that were good talkers and banter on the field that they just got riled up and then they couldn't deal with it. And I think that day it worked to perfection.
Saints pouring forwards as we bear down on the break. Irish defenders everywhere you look, and that is half time.
24-0 at halftime, beyond the hopes even the most optimistic Exiles fans had. And Barry Everett remembers Northampton were rattled.
When we walked back into the changing room, the first thing everyone was talking about was there was a bit of a pushing and a bit of talking between the players in Northampton as they were coming off the field. And at that point, we knew, all right, they're feeling the pressure.
I can remember knowing that it was going to be our day. The whistle went, and as we were walking off, and I just passed Budge Pountney and Matt Dawson, and they were in a heated discussion. I mean, nearly at each other's throats. I mean, it was a real bicker. I just knew at that moment that we had got to them and we'd rattled them.
They just couldn't handle it. The press between the two teams, we won that mind games. Run the mind games on the field. Brendan won mind games against Dawes.
So our focus was to go out into that second half and make sure that we increased the pressure on them. We knew they would have to come at us with everything they had in that first 15 minutes. And if they didn't manage to score in that first 15 minutes, I thought we could close out the game.
40 minutes to the trophy. Northampton with it all to do, 24-0 down.
So the pressure was on them at that point. And as the second half unfolded, it was quite unique. I don't think I've ever experienced it in my career before then or after, that in such a high-profile game and in such an intense game that we found ourselves so far ahead with lots of time left on the clock.
Northampton and England star Matt Dawson certainly wasn't enjoying his day at Twickenham, and his old enemy Brendan Venter would rub salt into the wound, swinging a fist at the scrum half.
Here goes Dawson, a little bit of feist on the floor. Dawson driving forward. Oh dear, look at that from Venter. That will not go down well.
Brendan absolutely killed him. He went and he absolutely annihilated him. I mean, he could have got sent off for that.
Well, you can understand Dawson's fury. That was reckless from Fenter.
Yeah, he clubbed him. Matt Dawson was off his game that day and he wanted to make sure that he stayed that way.
I think we were fortunate at that moment because those moments can go either way. A referee can decide that someone is being, in this day and age, someone can be sent off, someone can get yellow carded, and that could have turned the tide.
I think if it was in today's game, he would have probably been sent off for it.
On another day, it could have been a different situation. It could have been a different end to that game. But fortunately for us, it turned out the right way.
Venter could, and maybe should, have been sent off, but he escaped with a yellow card. Everything was going for London Irish. But Saints used that sense of injustice to find a way back.
Grayson with the crossfield kick. Cohen underneath it! Saints have their try, and they're not finished yet. Paul Grayson adds two more, and the Northampton fight back starts here.
You would not be human, and an element of doubt or nervousness, not from the point of view of, creep in.
Saints come again. The Irish on red alert here, but their defence holding out.
Ben Cohen's try after an hour sparked fears of a comeback, the biggest test of London Irish nerves, and Chris Sheesby knew it.
But what we've learnt is to draw together. You know, there isn't panic. And what you have to do is that has to come in and create those butterflies again. You have pre-game. And then you have to allow those butterflies to stay, but you've got to get rid of those thoughts. Those negative thoughts. And it's coming together and saying, what are we going to do to be able to keep the ball, keep territory, and to ultimately close this game out?
Northampton building another attack. But then, out of nowhere, a Jeff Appleford interception and the Twickenham pitch open in front of him.
Dawson breaks forwards. Oh, the intercept! Jeff Appleford has it! And he has to race the length of Twickenham. Leslie and Beale giving chase. The cup surely Irish's now.
It was just this incredible day in the sun with this sea of green. The momentum totally with us and putting an international team, 1-15, you know, to the sword.
And it allows you time to enjoy the atmosphere, to soak it in, enjoy the game.
We were underdogs all the way through that. I mean, we could have played against New Zealand that day. I reckon we would have won. only because of that mentality of us, we were ready to go to war for everyone.
31-7, 6 minutes to go, and Irish weren't done putting a shell-shocked Saints to the sword.
The Exiles swing it wide one last time. Saints a little short of defenders. Bishop is in the clear. The final nail in the Northampton coffin. Brendan Fenter beaming. Irish celebrating a historic cup win. London Irish with their first major title.
Final whistle. 38-7, Northampton thrashed by Paul Sackey and his rampant London Irish teammates.
That feeling you have on the field when you know that you've just won a cup, for me to win something like that at 20 was amazing. I had all my family, friends in the crowd, and you don't know what to do. It's one of the best feelings ever.
But this is the first piece of major silverware in London Irish's history. Major.
It's lovely to be able to walk up the steps of Twickenham as we had played very close to that ground for many, many years. To be able to walk up the steps and take the trophy was a special moment, I think, for everyone.
Exhilaration for the men in green. History made today at Twickenham. Ryan Strudwick raises the Power Gen Cup to the heavens.
It was just all the things you talked about. There we were, arm in arm with the cup, the final achievement. I remember that so much.
Well, what does it feel like in the dressing room? It's just absolute relief. All the adrenaline has just drained away from your body. And it is that special moment that you can spend with those teammates that you've gone through so much with right throughout that season. And you can just sit back, relax, and just savour it. Yeah, what a fantastic feeling.
After over a century, London Irish lifted their first major title in front of tens of thousands of their fans. Paul Sackey, Chris Sheesby and Barry Everett knew they were history makers.
I look back on it, the individuals in that room, I think there's always a special bond. And I think that comes from any successful team. Anyone who's won a trophy or won a league, they will always remember the individuals and the characters.
I think Brendan Venter is probably one of the best. He ingrained a lot of what I still do now to this day, Brendan has, because I was a problem. When I was growing up, I was a problem. And he changed a lot of my outlook on life, the respect that I have for people and my morals. He sort of changed that. I owe a lot to him for the way that I think now. To win it with a team and your friends is probably the best feeling ever.
Just being with a lot of people that I hadn't seen for many, many years that come from my hometown, and they had made the journey to come over and see us play. They were so relieved to have gone well and that we had won. I think it made it just extra special.
My mum and dad always had a place in the car park. It took me an hour to get from the changing rooms to mum and dad's car. People, well-wishers, would say, "Chris, well done, congratulations, brilliant. Come and have a drink." The first four or five well-wishers, spectators, were Northampton supporters. That is what makes rugby special.
Sport Pods.